So we spoke last week about the general topic of hidden mitzvah. And as I mentioned, try to pay attention to that topic and to those makoros that we saw on that issue, because it helps us as a foundation to consider just how hidder impacts Hanukkah. So when it comes to Hanukkah, we have a statement in the Gemara, Masechet Shabbos, which tells us that there is a concept of Mahadrin, which has a very big impact on how the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is performed. The Gemara says that mitzvahs Chanukah, that on a core level, Chanukah does not require a menorah at all. Sounds funny, because the menorah is one of the most recognizable symbols of Judaism, especially here in New York City. You could probably ask anybody on the street what a menorah is, and they'll tell you. Menorah is something that the Jewish people use on Hanukkah, and that they need to light every night in accordance with how many days, and everyone knows that. This is something that, among all the mitzvos, wouldn't even say mitzvah Torah, because we know the mitzvah Drabanan, but out of all the mitzvos of Judaism, this is one of the most widely known and recognized obligations. However, according to the Gemara, it's not an obligation. According to the Gemara, the mitzvah of Hanukkah is just one candle. Mitzvah Chanukah, ner ish ubeso. One candle, not even per person, but per household. And it's, if a person wants to be above and beyond, if the person wants to be from the Mahadran, so then, still no menorah. Then the idea is you do a little bit more, but it still has nothing to do with counting days, but rather you count people. So ner l'kol echad v'echad. You have a candle per person in the household. Still nothing correlates to nights per se. However, if you want to be the best of the best, super duper extra just back from Israel religious, then what do? Then that's called the Mahadran, min ha-Mahadran, and that's where the menorah comes in. Then you light per night. So if you ever see on a restaurant, sometimes you see in restaurants in Israel, the Hashgacha says Mahadran min ha-Mahadran. So it means that they light with the menorah on Hanukkah, because that's the only time you see it, they're taking shots, right? The Mahadran min ha-Mahadran, that's what it means, the extra third level. Not the style Mahadran, but the Mahadran min ha-Mahadran. So within that, there is a machlokas that according to Beis Hillel, we go up, and according to Beis Shammai, we go down. And the Gemara has two tracks of explanations. That one possibility is Beis Hillel says you count the days as they come and as they go up, and Beis Shammai says you count the days left. And the other track is different. The other track says that Beis Shammai's opinion is we go down to parallel Parei HaChag, the cows of Sukkot, which are in descending order on Sukkot, and according to Beis Hillel, Malu B'Kodesh V'Eid Marid. So let me ask you, between those two suggestions as a guideline here, Kineged Parei HaChag or Malu B'Kodesh V'Eid Marid, which one is more surprising? Sorry? Okay, tell me why. Usually isn't, right? So we think maybe we're supposed to say Pariacha, and then I was supposed to say no. So you might think that Pariacha is more surprising, because what in the world does Sukkot have to do with Hanukkah as a model, and out of all the different things you could point to, why point to that? But Gilad points out correctly that this is an unusual application of Malam B'Kodesh V'Ein Marid. And this idea that because we generally have a principle that when something is used for purposes of Kedusha, then it should only from there on in be used for higher purposes of Kedusha, the idea that that means that a mitzvah object, we only want it to have a ascending quantitative message, that's not the usual usage. Setting aside the question of, is it actually true that the candles are even Kodesh or not? Is that the proper word? But even if we want to call it Kodesh, But to assume that Malim B'Kodesh means that we can only have numerical schemes that go up, that's an unusual application. Okay, so in any event, here the Gemara has these two possibilities. Now, who do we paskin like? Beis Hillel. Have you ever seen anyone paskin like Beis Shammai with the candles going down? So, as far as we know, we paskin like Beis Hillel. But there's another machlokes within that. Again, I don't know how many people got to see the Makoros today in light of the Chazara pressures, but if you did get to see any of the Makoros, so you'd see. If not, it's good to just have them for future benefit. But there is a machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam on this issue. That according to Tosfos, Tosfos quotes B'ri, that if one is going to do the Mahadrim and Mahadrim, if one is going to do level 3 and start counting nights, then you don't combine the systems. You don't count both nights and people. You only count one of the others. So either you're doing level 2 and you're counting people, or you're doing level 3 and you're counting nights. Why should you not combine the systems? What's Tosis's problem?
Confusing.
Is that what you say?
It's confusing.
It's confusing, right? It's confusing. I have two people talking at the same time and saying it's confusing. So that's a good display. Thank you. See how much commitment to different methods of communication and education. So when they have too many things coming at you at the same time, it's confusing. So if you're going to have, let's say, for example, it's the fourth night of Hanukkah, and you have 3 people in the household. So they light 12 candles. So somebody walks past your window and they see 12 candles. What does 12 candles mean? Does 12 candles mean there's 4 people and it's the third night, there's 2 people and it's the sixth night, there's 6 people and it's the second night, there's 1 person and he's not even Jewish? What exactly, what is 12 candles going to represent? And so, since it's meaningless, says Tosfos, don't do that. If you're going to go for the per night Mahadrim, Mid Mahadrim, Ultra, Extra, Deluxe, Platinum package, then just do that and do not go per person. However, the Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam, at least theoretically, writes that indeed you should combine the systems. You raising your hand, sorry?
Yes. The question. Yeah.
Yes.
I think the rhythm of what it is that. Like the Rambam, he focuses that.
I haven't even said the Rambam yet.
I remember before that he said you know which night it is, and so it just says like the more consuming it is, and other end.
Think so.
Yeah, same end.
Sorry. Okay.
And that sort of question, that it seems weird that usually by hitting a mitzvah, you make the mitzvah itself better. I don't know about like Esther or Sam, it's not like a different mitzvah, seemingly with by Hanukkah.
Okay, so you are way ahead of us. Right. So let's try to give the building blocks first, and then we'll let you have them, because I think everyone's been left in the dust. So let's just get the parts out there on the table first. All right, so first we have Tosfos. Tosfos is that you don't combine the systems because it's confusing. But the Rambam does recommend that that's what happens, that you do combine the systems. And therefore, in our example, you would indeed have 12 candles. So the question, which maybe Gilad was about to address, maybe I think actually beyond this question too, is why is there this difference? Here you have the Tosfos is worried about recognizability. Why is the Rambam not worried? Why is it that the Rambam doesn't care that you're not going to have an identifiable system? So, Gilad, were you about to explain that, or you're about to ask a question on the explanation?
There is a question on the explanation.
Okay, so we have to first say an explanation. So
the explanation that depends on the approach is presuming he's counting to show which native Hanukkah is it, or is it just that the more candles are, the more parsimonious there is?
So I think actually we have to say a lot more to get to that point. So I'll push you off again. Even I just brought you back in, I'll push you off again because you're so many steps ahead of us. So one possible approach is that you could ask the following question. And this is a popular question that the Achronim ask over here. And they ask as follows. So last week, we studied the sugya of Hibbur Mitzvah B'chol Torah Kulo. This week, they're considering this topic of Mahadrin and Mahadrin by Neiros Chanukah. Why are we doing that? I asked the Achronim on our Shir schedule. Why do we set things up that way? Is it because we assume that the two topics are in any way related? Or is that not the case? So after we established last week that there is a din throughout the Torah of Zekei Levi and Vehu, that we should be mahadir in our mitzvos, so now, when we see this sugya of Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, is that a part of the same idea? Or is it something else? Is this something which is just one more example of Zekei Levi and Vehu? Or does this expression that we find in the context of Hanukkah actually constitute a whole different concept? Follow the question? So within that suggestion, within that question, so there are those who explain as follows. And among those who take this approach is Rav Yaakov Bashal Zsolti. Familiar with that name? That's right. Rav Zsolti was a chief rabbi of Yerushalayim until the 1980s. And he wrote a sefer called Mishnas Yavetz, and when I was your age, Mishnas Yavetz was a very sought-after sefer, and it was a big chav to get one. Now, Baruch Hashem, it's not such a big chav to get one, because now we have HebrewBooks.org, which makes so many things available online. You don't have to fight people at the Svarim store. You can just go to your computer. So now the whole sefer is there. Once upon a time, it was a big deal to get a hold of one. So in the Sefer Mishnas Yavetz, he writes that he thinks the question is as follows. Is this Zekei Levi and Vehu, or is it something else? And he thinks within that Tosfos is taking the view that this is standard Zekei Levi and Vehu. So what? Because if it's standard Zekei Levi and Vehu, then it should follow the rules of Zekei Levi and Vehu. So here, we'll quickly refer to last week. Remember, we saw that some of the Rishonim hold there's no such thing as hider if something isn't seen. So maybe that's what's bothering Tosfos. How can you have a hider if it's not going to be clear what's going on? So the Rambam, who's not worried about that, what's the Rambam's position? Doesn't have to be that it's clear here, because this is not Zekei Levi and Vehu. It is not subject to the rules of Zekei Levi and Vehu B'chol HaTorah Kulo. It's a different kind of concept that is embedded in the mitzvah itself. And if you can't figure it out, that's your problem. It's about how you do it. It's not about making a clear presentation that is visible the way we say by Hidna B'chol HaTorah Kulo. So that's the way Rav Zsolti understands it. I recently just bought a sefer last week in the store. I think it's called Emeka Parsha, something like that. And I saw just he has in Miketz, he has a section on Hanukkah, and he has this exact same approach. Same story. And Rav Zsolti goes on to say, I'll prove to you that this is the case. Because there is a machlokas, some suggest, between the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Now let me first back up here for a second and point out that this whole issue between the Rambam and Tosfos, there is an anomaly as far as Psak is concerned. I know normally the Shulchan Aruch follows the Sephardi position. Right, Tolo? And you approve? And the Ramah normally follows the Ashkenazi position, right? Everyone else?
Yeah.
Okay, so, no offense. Stand strong. Don't. Anyway, so where does that go off course here? Because what's surprising is that the Shulchan Aruch follows Tosfos on this issue, and the Rambam seems like he's the basis for the position of the Rambam. So that's a crisscross of the normal way of doing things. And the Taz writes on the side of the page over there, Zeh lo matzinu b'shar mekomos. This is not something that we normally see. This is very unusual. So, in any event, what's the point? So, we see here then, this puts the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch in different camps. Right? Because Shulchan Aruch is following Tosfos. So, according to Rav Zsolti's explanation, it means that the Rambam holds that some special hiddur embedded in the mitzvah, and the Shulchan Aruch, following Tosfos, holds it's a standard hiddur, right? So, based on that, he wanted to say that falls in line with the following point. There is a din in the Shulchan Aruch, which is also in the Rambam. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch have a din. They say that Ner Chanukah is such a big deal, is so important, that if one cannot afford money for Ner Chanukah, then one has to do whatever they can to make sure they fulfill it, even if it means they have to go begging, they have to ask for tzedakah, whatever it takes, in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So that's in both the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. But there might be a difference between the two. So there's a machlokas by proxy. Commentaries on each have different interpretations. And if you look in the Bir Halach, he quotes from the Sefer Chemed Moshe, that when the Shulchan Aruch says, go begging for Chanukah, he only means one candle. Why? Because that's the Iker Mitzvah. Anything more than that is a hiddur. So would you be required to go begging for a hiddur mitzvah? That seems like that's a little extreme. Hiddur is the icing on the cake. Why should you have to go begging for the icing on the cake? So that's within the position of the Shulchan Aruch. But the Rambam, according to the Or HaSameach, the Rambam's position is you have to go begging not only for one candle, but for all of them, whatever is required by the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim. So why should that be? Why should you be required to go to such extreme lengths for the icing on the cake, for the Mahadrim? So to that, says Rav Zsolti, it shows you that you're dealing here not with an actual standard hiddur mitzvah, but with something special that is built into the mitzvah itself and that has greater requirements. Okay? Gilad, now are we up to you?
Yeah, I might have answered part of the question.
Oh, beautiful. Because I'm going to disagree with all this in a second, so then maybe we'll unanswer your questions.
Even with the Tosfos, it still seems like it's not really the normal case of hiddur. It still seems to be a different.
I agree with you, as we'll see. Okay, so maybe take four. We'll push you off one more time and see now. See after the next stage if we're up to you yet. It's taking a while. You seem very lofty. But let's see if after saying a few more minutes, are we up to your point? This is the way some achronim have it. I think it's possible to say a little differently, to tweak the whole idea, and then actually end up reversing the positions that we have for Tosfos and the Rambam. Because one could say as follows, that maybe really according to everyone, the hiddur of Chanukah is special, is not standard. And there's a proof that we can bring to this from one of the sources that we saw last week. What am I thinking of? One of the dinner that we learned last week pushes us to think that Chanukah must really be on a different scale. Anyone think what I'm talking about? Well, what's the rate of what you're supposed to, Harrison? Okay. What's the rate of what you're supposed to spend for a hiddur? A shlish, right? One third. So how in the world does that work out as far as Hanukkah candles are concerned? Right? Let's say you're doing just the Mahadran and you only have one other person in your house. You've already doubled your costs. Right? So certainly if you're going to do a Mahadran, mid Mahadran, and certainly if you have a larger family, then for sure you're talking about an extreme increase way, way, way beyond a third. So how does that work? So perhaps one has to say that the Tosfos and the Rambam both agree that the Mahadran of Hanukkah is special. The question is, how special is it? Is it that it's completely different from Zakei Levandayu? It's a whole different game that has nothing to do with it? Or should we say that, no, it's not that it's fundamentally different. The difference is external. The difference has to do with the commitment that normally you only have to spend a third, and here you have to spend so much more. But what you're spending on is essentially the same kind of hiddur mitzvah that normally is limited to a third. And if that's the question, then it ends up flipping, I think. Because really the Rambam is the one who has a more standard hiddur mitzvah. And the Rambam says, have a bigger presentation. And in essence, that's essentially like what we find by Esrog. Have a bigger Esrog, a nicer Esrog. That's all. There's a system as far as what makes it grow, but it's basically a standard hiddur. While according to Tosfos is saying you have to be able to read a message and what's going on. That seems like it's fundamentally different. That seems like it's something that has a whole different concept to it. So if that's the case, so then maybe Tosfos is the one who's really telling us it's a different kind of hiddur completely. And the Rambam who's saying that it's actually the same kind of hiddur, but it's a hiddur that requires a greater commitment. So to go back to Rav Zolti's proof about the Rambam saying you have to go begging for a hiddur, that still works, because that relates not to the nature of the hiddur, but to the lengths that you have to go to bring about the hiddur. And that's perhaps a different story. Okay, does that make sense? Gilad, now how do we stand now?
That's the question.
Okay, so does that answer the question? Does that reframe it in a way that satisfies the question? Okay. So then you're left with a question. Sorry?
The question you guys is really like why is this, why is Tosfos doing this by Hanukkah?
So it seems like this is not simply Zakei Levandayu. It seems like this is a whole different din, that Chazal packed into the mitzvah a different kind of structure. And why is that? So that's interesting. Okay.
It also seems weird, like the Lashon of the Gemara is Mahajri and Mahajri.
Right, so.
Why is Tosfos like take down something different?
Well, I don't know if that has to bother us so much, because maybe it just means that we have a notion of Hiddur that comes from somewhere else, so it doesn't have the same rules. Just like Tosfos says by Sukkah, the context of pre Eitz Hadar having a different scope to the notion of hiddur. So if it comes from different places, it could have different rules. But there are those who suggest also that maybe the difference between the Rambam and Tosfos is what exactly are we commemorating? Because I think a few people mentioned yesterday, there is the open question of what is the Nes of Hanukkah that we want to commemorate? Is it the Pach HaShemen, like all the school kids learn about, and the Gemara talks about? Or is it the war, which does seem more significant, and crucially in Al-Hanisin, that's the only thing that's mentioned. So it could be, as some have suggested, that Tosfos holds as the Pach HaShemen, and that's why they focus so much on being able to count, while the Rambam really holds about the Mochama. So according to the Rambam, it's less about being able to count and perceive any message, it's more about simply making a nice presentation. And, of course, it could be that they are one and the same. And this is something that has been suggested by others also. Maharal of Prague, for example. That maybe the Nes was really the Mochama. But the danger was that people could have the attitude of Kochi v'otzim yadi, that just because we made it out of the war, so maybe it's not necessarily a miracle, maybe we just have good soldiers, good generals, etc., etc. So Kadosh Baruch Hu then makes a magic show, essentially. A nes that's less significant, but is undeniably miraculous. And the impact is, okay, now we see that God was there all along, and that that's essentially what the Mochama reflects as well. Okay, does that make sense? Any questions about this? All right, there is a lot more to say about this. We just touched the tip of the iceberg. I do know a possible publication you could obtain if you want that has a longer expansion on this topic. And I refer, of course, to Mishnas Yavetz, but there are others from also that talk about this in, more recently. And, of course, by that I mean Rav Nevin Sal Svarim. But in addition to that, there are some publications, even more recent, that have some discussions about this, so there's a lot more to say. So we will leave it at that, and God willing, we'll start our Chazara tomorrow. Today we have the opportunity still to be Mefarsim, the Neis Barabim, and say Al-Hanisim together with the Alevi Yavo. So we'll daven Mincha now. Please remember not to say Tachlin twice.